Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Plastic Man number 2. Cover date February 1967, cover price 12 cents. Cover artist J. Winslow Mortimer. Edited by Murray Boltonoff, featuring The Three Faces of Plastic Man, written by Arnold Drake, art by J. Winslow Mortimer. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go!
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And now is so much fun. What?
Dr. Dome plots to kill Plastic Man, claiming that Plaz will destroy him in 1 hour. He schemes to use a time machine to travel back to a time when Plaz was young, then kill him. However, he doesn't know who Plastic Man really is or where he came from. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Plastic Man! Plastic Man!
Good guy in a bright red suit, and he always wears goggles and a belt that's a beaut. He was a crook, but he reformed, and then he reformed and reformed and reformed again.
Plastic Man, Plastic Man, the one, the original Elastic Man, always in great shape for the shape he's in, the fantastic Plastic Man! Plastic Man! Plastic Man!
He can stretch his neck treetop high, and stretch his arms till they touch the sky, and stretch his legs till he's so tall he could bounce the moon like a basketball.
Plastic Man, the one, the original Elastic Man, always in great shape for the shape he's in, the fantastic Plastic Man. Plastic Man. Plastic Man.
He's a quick change artist beyond compare. No one else like him, yeah, anywhere. And he's one guy the villains just can't catch. You can count on him to win in the stretch.
Plastic Man, Plastic Man, the one, the original Elastic Man, always in great shape for the shape he's in, the fantastic Plastic Man! Plastic Man!
Ha ha, bedhead, bedhead, your hair's all messed up, like you've been in bed.
Well, it sure is. You know, I wasn't planning on taking a nap at all. I got over eight and a half hours of sleep last night.
Yeah?
But it's this damn comic, it just put me right to sleep.
Honestly. Well, we'll see you next week, everyone. That's Plastic Man number 2. In fairness, almost every time you read a comic, it puts you to sleep.
It's magical. On a Sunday afternoon, I'll just lie down. Now, that's the problem. If I don't want to fall asleep, I just need to stand up and read the comic. But otherwise, if I'm lying down or sitting down, if I lie down or I sit down, and I just get in a comfortable position and I open a comic, fifth page in, I'm nodding off like my head's like a bladder on a stick.
You know, that's my problem. I only read in bed.
It's true. You read comics every night.
Sometimes I read a novel, but it takes me 5 years to finish an average length novel.
Well, you know, I also read.
Yes.
But I read books, so I will...
Yes, novels are books. I'm also reading books.
I'm sorry, let me try that. I also read in bed, but I just read books. I don't read comics or
I see.
Things. I don't know anything. And so most nights I can get about 5 or 6 pages in and I fall asleep.
Oh, two tops for me. Two pages.
But so it could take me... Sometimes it could take me a while. If it's a particularly captivating book, I will take it with me in my bag and just read it during lunch and read it as often as I possibly can.
Sure. Well,
which that's what I'm doing right now. Like I've got Morgan Llewellyn's famous novel 1916 about the Irish Rebellion, and I am just crazy about it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be leaving me for several days coming up, so I guess you could take your book with you, and maybe that'll keep you company.
I hope so. Was it 1918?
I don't know. You're reading it.
Well, I know. Isn't that terrible? Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Well, I've been having, while you were sleeping, of course, my delightful conversations with the boy next door.
Yeah, 1916. Thank you. You had conversations with the boy next door? What?
Oh, the child, yes. The little boy. Oh, my God, yes. Always comes out in the porch, and if I'm outside in the porch, he wants to know what I'm doing. What am I? Why am I there? What am I doing? Yes. What's in my hand? What am I reading?
Right.
And then he was singing, he was serenading me with, "I'm still standing." Yeah. Except he doesn't know the words "I'm still standing." So it goes, "Blah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Well, did you mention to him, ask him who was cutting the grass yesterday?
No.
On the tractor?
No.
Because I have a feeling his grandfather was listening to some pop music yesterday and was screaming at the top of his lungs. I heard him outside and I just sat out there and listened to him sing.
But there was a girl's voice, wasn't it?
It was just him singing really high.
Oh.
Yes.
Well.
It was delightful.
You know, his mother was a fan dancer in burlesque.
Okay, yes, but not the little boy's mother, the little boy's grandmother.
The little boy's great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother, that's correct. Great-grandmother was a fan dancer, yes.
We live in an exciting neighborhood, listener.
There's a house right next door to us that has 4 generations living in it.
Yes.
I mean, if you count the great-grandmother, four generations. In fairness, it's a huge house.
It's very large house, yes.
And they're absolutely delightful people. Yes. We love them. We never talk about them in any gossipy way or anything like that, just we just love them.
We do gossip about other neighbors, however.
Yes.
I thought I did some juicy gossip, but I don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I might have to make up something.
That's okay.
Anything else to add about your day or weekend or...
Oh, well, as you said, I'm traveling.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning I have to get up at the crack o'd... No, way before. I have to be on the road at 5 a.m.
No. How?
That's why I got to eat my dinner really early tonight.
For Christ's
sake. Right. So, I have to be on the road at 5 a.m. So I'm already packed, ready to go. And I'll be gone. I'll come back the next day at a reasonable hour. And then, of course, what happens after that? No, I leave on Friday after that.
Yes.
And then I'll be gone next weekend as well for family business. I suppose I could finally say something about this. My sister passed away.
Yes.
Rather unexpectedly. And she's only 3 years older than I am, but she had lots of health complications. And so it was very unexpected, as you know.
Yes.
So I have to go to Florida just very briefly to take care of some business.
To bring her cat home.
So
if anyone has any hints about introducing an adult cat into an already adult cat and dog household.
Or would like to adopt full-grown cat that has been... You know how you break a horse? You put a saddle on the horse and you break it and so that it can ride with people on it. It gets comfortable with people on it.
Yeah.
My sister unofficially had a PhD in breaking cats.
Uh-huh.
Which I mean with great affection. I used to call it her holding therapy.
Uh-huh.
In that she would tame a cat in a way that like you just can hold it and hold it forever.
Okay.
You know? So my sister broke this cat years ago. So I imagine it's a very affectionate cat. I've pet her before. She's really sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the best thing would be to find a home for the cat just because of our setup here.
Yeah.
So anyway, I need to go get the cat.
And then you're off to Montana for a singing engagement.
Yes, that just fell in my lap, didn't it?
It sure did.
I'm so excited. And I can say that I was asked to go sing in an All Souls service.
Mm-hmm.
Which the thought of going to Montana to sing an All Souls service with people that I really, really love at a time when I just lost my sister is a very, very special thing that I could not even for one second. I was like, I'm in. Yep. Yeah. So I should also mention that I just 2 days before discovered my sister had passed away. My uncle passed away. Mm-hmm. So he had been suffering for a long time with a very unfortunate illness. And so it was one of those things where I know that his children did not experience this, nor his wife. He remarried after my aunt died years ago. For them, it was a terrible loss. For me, more of I was like, it was a sad loss. And obviously, but I really did feel like, oh, he's no longer suffering.
Right.
You know, my sister's was quite different. Yeah. So that being said, very well rested. You're right. My hair looks like an absolute nightmare. Your hair looks fantastic.
Well, I just saw my girl yesterday, so.
Yes. I won't see my girl till November.
Well, we have the same girl, to be clear.
Yeah. And, yes. Well, I won't see her until November. And honestly, I'm growing my hair out, so I don't need to get cut as often as yours is. I don't have to have it look as neat. Yes?
You're not in a glamour profession like I am.
No, nor do I actually care what people think of my hair these days.
Good for you.
Can you tell?
Yeah. You know who else doesn't care about anything, what anyone thinks about any aspect of
Plastikman.
His personality? Plastikman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new, fantastic Plastikman.
Yes.
From February 1967. And have we got an origin story for you, listener? Heck no, we've got three of them.
Yes.
And one's goofier than the next. In
What the hell are you reading? Okay. Do the setup again. I'm sorry. I was scanning the page for it.
Have we got an origin story for you? Heck no, we've got three of them. One's goofier than the next. In
The Many Lives of Plastikman.
Now, this is the 1960s revival of Plastikman, which DC Comics bought from Quality Comics.
Okay.
Along with many other characters, including our favorite band of flyboys, the Blackhawks.
Right.
Plastikman was created by Jack Cole and had a nice long run in the 1940s, one of just the most innovative, delightful comic features of the 1940s.
Okay.
And revival is not it.
So is this then, I was going to say, is this the first time that we've read a Plastikman comic? This is not the first time that we have read a story involving Plastikman.
No. Well, this is issue number two. We did read issue number one.
Okay.
And also,
but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, sure, because I think this is being published bi-monthly at the time, so.
Okay.
Also, you'll recall that Robbie Reed turned into Plastikman.
Yes. I do recall that.
Yes. Now, this character, I believe.
Spider-Man?
No, Plastikman.
Okay.
I believe this happens after the Go-Go checks are gone, but he is revealed in this series to be the son of the original Plastikman, who is retired and living in a retirement home with his pal Woozy Winks.
Okay.
But I don't think that's been revealed yet. Thus, we get three origin stories here.
Okay.
In this.
Fair.
Issue.
Yes.
Now, in this same series, DC will return to aping the style of the 1940s Plastikman stories after a brief cancellation. And then Plastikman goes on to stardom, television shows and records.
Of course, that's the Plastikman I knew.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? I didn't remember that they had live action segments. Do you remember that?
No, I do not remember that at all. I'll have to
pull it up on YouTube. Yeah, they had the Plastikman cartoon show with Baby Plaz and whatnot.
I hated it.
You hated Baby Plaz?
Yes. Yeah, I hated that. I hate her, his girlfriend. What was her name?
Penny.
Penny. She called him Plasty. God, it was so stupid. I mean, I would watch anything that was animated, honestly. But this was stupid. Well, I mean, I watched Muppet Babies, for God's sake.
Muppet Babies was awesome. What are you, for gosh sakes? This character we're reading about could actually be grown-up Baby Plaz.
Really?
Well, think about it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Also, I was going to say something important. Oh, I think DC, not everyone at DC understood that they owned Plastic Man, and that's why they created Elongated Man.
Yeah.
Who, we like his stories a lot.
Yeah.
So much I wrote a song about him.
I know you did.
Sure. Well, at last, Rob, the story you've been dying and also paid 12 cents for.
The Three Faces of Plastic Man.
The never-before-told origins of Mr. Fantastic himself. Only which one is the true origin? Was he a gypsy fiddler? We don't say gypsy anymore.
No.
A yogurt farmer or crook?
Yeah, let's find out.
This is written by Arnold Drake, who's well-known for his quote-unquote comedic work on The Adventures of Bob Hope and The Adventures of Jerry Lewis. And he decided to write Plastic Man in that same vein, although he also writes Doom Patrol. I think he should have written it more like Doom Patrol.
Yes, I wish he had.
But he didn't.
Gosh, Rob, how do you really feel about this comic?
We open with Gordon K. Trueblood closing his pet shop in mid-afternoon. What? Has the city gone mad? Apparently he's waiting on Plastic Man.
But he's late, and he needs to go to the zoo auction.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we don't understand what's being auctioned at the zoo, just an auction at the zoo.
Probably the old animals that aren't entertaining anymore, so they just
auction them off for feed.
Well, or for, you know,
for
people who like exotic pets.
Ugh.
He understands that Plastic Man has a responsibility to the community, being a superhero, but he can't get him to take his responsibilities to the zoo auction seriously.
He's talking to his carefree monkey.
Yeah, Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi.
Monkey on his shoulders.
Yes.
Suddenly, the monkey talks back.
Listen, we've got our problems.
It's not a monkey at all. It's Plastic Man disguised as a monkey.
As a monkey.
I didn't like this because we always know the Plastic Man's in disguise because he's always red and has his yellow diamond belt buckle on, and right. This monkey's monkey colored. I don't think
there's nothing about color. This monkey that doesn't look like a monkey, so no. I don't understand why and how it became Plastic Man.
I mean, in fairness, it's obviously a cartoon monkey. It actually doesn't look like a monkey, not like Gorilla Grodd.
Well, in the world that the artist is drawn,
it looks
like a monkey.
J. Winslow Mortimer, well versed in these types of quote unquote humor.
Now,
comics.
You and I have been together for 33 years.
Right? No.
32?
Almost 32.
Almost 32 years.
Yes. Don't make me older than I actually am.
Sorry. 32, nearly 32 years. Mm-hmm. 31 years. Sorry. We
got together when we were in junior high school, listener. Yeah,
we were junior high school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm asking is, in all the years that we have been together, there is one thing that I refuse to give you that you have asked me for repeatedly.
Uh-huh.
I bet listener doesn't know what that is.
Well, I'm about to tell. A pet monkey.
Yes.
Which you can order right in the back of one of these comic magazines.
Really?
Or just send away for it. Yes. Yeah. Adorable pet monkey.
Yeah.
Wait till you see the ad. It's so cute.
I've always said, absolutely not. I will never own a bird.
Uh-huh.
Or anything that can pick up its fecal matter and throw it at you.
It's much better to have a beagle that eats its own fecal matter and then comes and gives you kisses, I guess.
She doesn't eat her own. She eats his.
Sometimes she eats her own if she's out of his. Anyway, I'll wear you down. You got your cat after 30 years. Just give me a minute. What if they have a zoo auction and they're auctioning off an old monkey that needs a home that's going to die soon?
No.
Oh, I saw the cutest thing on TikTok or someplace.
What?
Well, you know Coco, the gorilla that knew sign language.
Yes.
Well, Coco loved to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And she, when she met Mr. Rogers in real life, she just ran right up and gave him a hug. And then she untied his shoes and took his shoes off
for him. Oh, no, she didn't.
Yes, she did, girl. I saw it on video.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
I know.
Yes. You still can't have a monkey.
What if it's a monkey that knows sign language and it's too busy signing to throw its feces?
Okay, well, that, I would consider that.
Okay.
Okay.
You'll have to learn ASL, but...
You will.
And you, the whole household, has to learn it.
The dogs, too?
Yes.
You know those videos they have of the dogs that step on the things and say, like, baby, poop, uh-huh, change diaper, you
yes
know, like that?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the woman holding the camera has signaled for the dogs and which things to push to what buttons to push.
Well, I don't know. Let's get one of those mats and see what happens.
Okay.
Food, now. Food, now. That's the beagle.
That's the beagle.
Food, yeah. Food, poop, food.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, Gordon, K. Trueblood, is astonished that the monkey's talking and realizes that it's Plastic Man, and now they're late. They have to hail a cab. The cabbie says, sorry, no animals in my cab.
So
that's what if it's a service animal?
Well, they didn't really care about those things back then.
Well,
but I would think that they would. Like, they would have had seeing eye dogs back then, right?
Yes.
Which is a service animal.
And what if it's
but they didn't have an emotional support tarantula like some no students have at their colleges.
But what if it's Lady Astor with her pet horse and she's going strolling down Fifth Avenue and she's probably
on the pet horse?
The monkey stretches its arm. It's Plastic Man. He stretches its arm around the cab and grabs it so that they can frighten the cab driver.
They tell the cab driver, well, you've got... He said, wait a second. You said there's no possible... He said, oh, for God's sake, how do they set it up? How dare you not recognize our animal, our spiritual bond, our lowest animal brothers? And so he says, anyway, it's a company policy. No animals in the cabs. And he says, oh, no, then what's this in your rear seat? And it's, of course, Plastic Man's arm, who is now a dog, and the dog, the armed dog, bites the cab driver's nose.
Yes. He's like a balloon animal, isn't he?
Yeah.
Plastic Man.
Yeah.
The cab drives off just in the nick of time. Here comes Mike, a.k.a. Miss Michelin Dilute III, whom we met last issue.
Okay.
She's rich.
She's in love with Plasty.
She loves Plasty. She's got her convertible, and she offers to drive them to the zoo. And she's also equipped her car with a suction cup vacuum front end to suck Plastic Man into the engine. I guess is what it looks like is happening.
That can't be good.
No. Well, he's plastic, so
yeah,
it's not going to hurt him.
Okay.
Off they go to the zoo. Meanwhile, in his secret lab on his Lexaphone is Dr. Dome, the devilish Dr. Dome, whom we also met last issue. He's Plastic Man's arch foe. And we learn that he has been trying for 7 years to kill Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the zoo, they arrive to the ice cream man.
Mm-hmm.
Who sells them...
they have 43 delicious flavors, including turnip and scallion, of ice cream. They're ice cream bars.
You're going to laugh at that, but have you heard of Jenny's Ice Cream in Columbus, Ohio? They've got all kinds of savory flavors of ice
cream. Do they indeed?
Yes, remember the cardamom and the...
Yes, will we have Jenny's Ice Cream when we go?
We can, yes.
We can.
And then when we were in Italy, remember they had gelato, like cheese-flavored gelato, mm-hmm, and whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he sells chocolate to Mike and Gordon, but gives a pistachio lolly to Plastic Man, and it happens to be ticking. I think that's a bad sign.
Of course.
And then the ice cream man takes off.
What's the doctor's been named? Dr. Dome?
Dr. Dome.
What a stupid enemy.
He is, yeah, he's got a colander over his head.
Yeah.
And a Fu Manchu mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, just around the corner from the zoo, there's two bank robbers escaping, being chased by the police. They run into the zoo, narrowly missing the ice cream man who's trying to make his way out of the zoo. And why? Because that pistachio ice cream bar he gave Plastic Man is a bomb.
Yes, Plastic Man does not care for pistachio.
Luckily for him.
Tosses the ice cream over his shoulder into the path of the armed robbers, and it explodes, and they lose their balance and fall, and the police capture the robbers.
Plastic Man is congratulated by the police for his brilliant crime-fighting work.
Yes.
Dr. Dome's outraged. He's seen it all on his lexophone, and he's starting to smash chairs. Now, as you may recall, Dr. Dome has a daughter. What's her name?
Oh, I don't. A dreadful daughter.
And I'm Dooney's. Lynx. Lynx. That's her name. Lynx Dome. She's a kitten with a whip, isn't she?
Yes.
She's got a little cat suit on with thigh-high boots and a whip.
A whip. And she's got a little lift in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's got one of those little bumps.
Mm-hmm. And she's trying to console her father. Dr. Dome says, I've been trying to kill him for 7 years. And she says, if only you could face him without his superpowers. And he says, Eureka, that's it. He's going to travel back in time using his time machine, back to a period before Plastic Man gained his powers, and face him in his youth and kill him as a child. Just like so many people have tried to do that with Hitler, haven't they? Travel back in time, kill him as a baby.
Oh, sure.
Well, it doesn't work. You can't change the past. You just create a branching timeline.
Right.
Duh. Mm. All right. There is a problem. They don't actually know his origin.
That's true.
So Lynx is going to go out. There are three people who are rumored to know his origin. And Lynx is going to go out and trick the origin stories out of them. Now.
Yes.
I didn't quite understand this plot point.
So they're racing against time because apparently he is going to be killed.
Yes.
Dr. Dome is going to be killed within a matter of time. He says,
in exactly 1 hour, Plastic Man plans to destroy me. I don't know how he.
And we don't even get it in the story.
We never learn. No.
So he's rushing against time, or racing against time.
Yes.
So he uses a special machine to make.
Well, the problem is there's three people that might know the origin. There's not enough time in 1 hour
them separately.
To get all of them right.
Right.
So
right.
Go ahead. She's going to be cloned into three people, just like Triplicate Girl of the Legion of Superheroes.
Right. With a machine. This is an amazing thing that he can do.
Yes. Dr. Dome has to get this machine out of a safe, and he says he can't remember the combination, and she says it's the same as your social security number, and he says, you show me one man who remembers his social security number. That social security numbers must have been new at this time.
I guess.
I remember mine, and in fact, yours.
Same, girl.
So we're not going to recite them on the air,
of course. God, no, but we do know each other's social security.
Yes. By memory.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's his greatest achievement, a triplicating machine. I don't know. I think maybe a time machine is a greater achievement than a triplicating machine.
I think it's
essentially a Xerox machine that you've invented.
Yes. And then what happens? Does he have to reintegrate them, or do the other two die?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that movie, The Prestige?
Yes.
Oh, that was...
So what about it?
Eerie. We'll talk about duplicating things.
Yes, and remember Moon?
Yes.
Where the guy meets his own clone?
Yes.
There's another movie coming out soon about
just
that
like
same
that. Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
So he triplicates Lynx and manages to triplicate them all in different costume.
Yes.
There's a cowgirl and a Playboy bunny.
Playboy bunny.
And a little creepy, like a sexy little girl costume with roller skates.
I mean, there are lots of strongly sexual overtones
yes.
to this.
Well, she's a villainess. So
yes.
That checks out.
She's going to lose a lung in that outfit.
The Playboy bunny?
Uh-huh. Playguy magazine.
Yes.
Playguy. Oh, she's so sexy.
Now, off she goes. The sexy little schoolgirl goes to the police station. The cowgirl goes to Mrs. DeLute, Mike's mother.
Mike's mother.
Micheline DeLute the second, who we also met.
And the third
girl. She hates Plastic Man.
Yes, and the third goes to Gordy's pet shop.
The Playboy bunny goes to Gordy's pet shop.
Gordy, who owns the pet shop. That's how we opened on the story.
All right. Now, we can only handle these stories one at a time, so we're going to start at the police station.
Oh, yeah, this one is a silly one and not very interesting. The other ones are really good.
Chief McSniff recalls his young days as a patrolman.
Of course, he's Irish.
He's Irish, yes, yes. But I'm not going to attempt. We've seen how that goes.
Oh, all right.
Well, you can go ahead.
All right. I was a brilliant young patrolman back then. Well, maybe not so young. He's getting yelled at by his chief.
Let's face it, McSniff, you're the oldest patrolman on the force.
I do my best, sir.
17 years without one arrest, it's not good enough. Now get a move on.
Then fate smiled upon me in the form of the slimiest, slipperiest tough I'd ever saw.
I guess they have minimum arrests they need to make.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. He is beckoned around the corner by a criminal. We know he's a criminal because he's wearing a zoot suit.
And white sunglasses. Yes, he goes...
over here, copper. I've got a tip for you. They call me the EO.
Maybe that's because you're the slimiest, slipperiest tough I ever saw.
I'm not a real crook, see? I came from the migraine Missouri to the big city to help fight crime. I joined a gang to work as an undercover man, see?
Listen, Neil, are you going to tell me your whole autobiography, or have ye some information for me?
Well, he told him all about the spider, who's yes. going to break into the big deal toy factory that might steal the secret plans for a new bop bag. I got really excited when I read this because there was a quality comics character called the Spider.
Okay.
Who was an Archer character. Mm-hmm. But he was undercover as a criminal. But then he'd fight crime.
Okay.
So here's the info on how you can capture the spider, see?
So he tells him where he's going to be doing his crime, and the chief gets, excited.
McSniff.
McSniff, yeah. He gets very excited because this could be the break that he needs to propel his law career forward.
Yeah.
So they're breaking into this. Why are they stealing toys?
They're stealing the patent for a new bop bag.
Okay. And he pops out of a box.
Yep.
McSniff. Nasty. He goes, nasty up sticky hands. I mean, stick up your nasty hands.
But here comes the spider on his line. He's dressed as a spider. That checks out. He's got 8 arms.
Yeah.
All of them have punching.
No, he has 6 arms and 2 legs.
Oh, right. Yeah. All his arms have boxing gloves on them. So McSniff gets a snoot full of boxing gloves. Then, now he's got 6 arms full of guns.
Well, he has 8 arms.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, now, see, I told you he had 8 arms.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
At least he's got 8 pistols.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess when in his descending scene, we don't see all of his arms.
Right.
Okay.
Here comes Eel with the aforementioned bop bag. Throws it at the spider.
Right.
And the spider, well, he pretends he trips. That's how he gets it over to the spider to help McSniff. Spider says, all right, Eel, you wanted to help me? Here, finish off the cop.
He goes off.
And hands him a gun.
Sure, boss. But then the eel turns on the spider.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And tries to use the gun, but it's not loaded.
No, because Spider says he only loads one of the guns because save money on ammunition. But then it turns out he didn't actually load any of the guns because he's just that cheap. He'll squeeze a nickel till the buffalo shits in his hand.
You had a relative like that. So
yeah, I'm married to him.
Oh! Oh, my God. What is it? Squeeze a nickel till the buffalo shits out of what?
Till the buffalo shits in your hand.
Okay. So stop or I'll shoot. He yells, the spider.
Well, there's no ammo, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They chase Eel up on the catwalk,
mm-hmm.
And then Spider catches up to him, pushes Eel into a vat of Nutty Putty.
Yes, which is supposed to be his demise.
Yes, but it isn't. It gives him stretchy powers.
And out stretches a giant elongated arm.
Yes.
Let's and now he's in
plastic
costume.
Plastic arm. Let's not mistake
him. Okay, plastic arm. And now he is also in costume.
Also in costume, yes. And he captures the spider and his gang. And McSniff makes the collar.
Yeah, he says, the chief says, "Holy hemp, the spider and his men tied by a human rope." He says, So anyway, he goes to the story and he wraps it up with the girl. And she says, "So the man from Miguel, Missouri, really saved your wife, your life, and started you on the road to success?" And he goes, "That's what he'd like to me to believe, but I'm too smart for plastic men." Yeah.
Once a crook, always a crook. Well, she thanks him, and off she goes. And now let's move back a few minutes, because simultaneously, the cowgirl is interviewing Mrs. DeLute.
Yes.
Who also may know Plastic Man's origin.
Mm-hmm.
It began some years ago in Mrs. DeLute's private railroad car. She was taking an overnight trip from one end of her estate to another.
Could you imagine?
She must be frightfully rich. She's having a fancy dinner served by her butler, Faunish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pity, though, there's no entertainment. Well, Faunish thought of everything. Of course he did.
Bring on the gypsy dancers.
Let's say Roma.
Romani people. They sing a song
called "Dance Gypsy, Sing Gypsy, Jump Gypsy, Skip Gypsy, Skip Gypsy." Oh, wow.
Yeah, bad, bad.
Don't worry. The racism gets worse in a few pages.
Oh, please. No, it gets worse right now. Right now.
Well, Mrs. DeLute doesn't want these filthy people dancing up on her table, so she orders them away. But suddenly, the train car door flies open, and in steps an equally racist, I mean sickening soul.
The Japanese beetle.
He
says, "I am the Japanese beetle. Please not to move, American lady. Otherwise, you run out of ruck." I am laughing. I could not believe when I read this. I was just like, oh my God. And it doesn't stop. He says, so sorry, please.
I'm amazed he says sorry and not sorry.
Humbry hope you like the rubbery music of the violin.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's awful. And it just goes on.
This was, I mean,
there are two stereotypes fighting each other.
On the same page. I was kidding. We didn't really meet in junior high school. We are old enough to remember when this was commonplace in all children's media.
Yes.
Cartoons, comics, everything.
Yes.
How did we come out on top of that?
I just assume that we finally realized, the groups were advocating to be treated like respectable people that they are, not being boiled and distilled down to a horrible stereotype.
It certainly wasn't our parents correcting our
hell no
behavior. Although, well, you know, I think Star Trek had a lot to do with it.
Hmm.
Sesame Street, probably. Maybe. Things like that.
Yeah.
Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Yeah. Mr. Rogers washing his cooling his feet.
Mr. Rogers, yes.
Yes, with the mailman. Or no, police officer.
Police officer.
Yeah.
You know, he was gay in real life, the police officer.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. Hmm. We're learning all kind of things about Mr. Rogers today.
Okay.
The gypsy and the beetle.
Get into a fight
atop the train.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, there's a milk car, which the beetle uses to spray the soon-to-be plastic men.
He calls it Mirk.
But then right behind the milk car is an acid car. That's probably good.
Yeah. And plastic man falls into the acid.
Plastic man falls into the acid, is blown into the sky, knocked into costume. and floats down as a parachute and captures the beetle.
Yes.
Do you know, when I was growing up, the next door neighbor, not Mr. Topping, who I talked about last week, the neighbor who moved in after Mr. Topping, he was a train cabooseman.
No.
His job was to ride on the caboose.
Really?
On the train. And one day, he went to make soup, and so he got a pitcher of water out of the refrigerator in the caboose and put it on the stove to heat. It wasn't water. It was alcohol. Caught on fire, and he got terrible burnt.
Oh, my God.
I know. He was fine.
I've never heard that story before.
You haven't?
No.
Well, my goodness. I have to keep some things in reserve.
Wow, that's delightful. Thank you.
Well, I thought the highlight would be that I actually am old enough to know someone whose job was as a cabooseman.
Oh, I miss cabooses, don't you?
Yeah, you don't see them anymore.
Mm-mm.
They'll just stick another engine on the back of the train.
Yeah.
Modern life.
Mm.
We learn here that Plastic Man can turn his head into a light bulb that actually glows.
Actually glows.
I don't think that's correct.
No.
They fight some more, and that's the story of Plastic Man.
Yeah, the Japanese man does call him several times a Plastic Pharaoh.
A what?
Plastic Fellow. Plastic Pharaoh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's get off of this page of stereotypes.
Yes, let's leave the incredibly wealthy...
Ms. DeLuke. Well, Ms. DeLuke. She says that... You know, they want to know where these people came from. So Ms. DeLute says, he claimed he was a railroad detective disguised to protect me, and his home was in Chilblains, Nevada.
Okay.
Now, let's turn the clock back again, because trimultaneously... I just made it
that That was nice.
Gordon is telling his story. He was on a... His Boy Scout troop was on a nature trip.
Mm-hmm.
And they were setting up camp, which necessitated removing a tree stump.
I mean,
can you just not go to another field?
What, wouldn't you just work your way around the tree stump? Do you really need to use the children and your car chain to pull up a tree stump?
Your station wagon and your troop of children are chaining up this
tree stump. Nothing bad can come from that.
No. Just then, a strange man in overalls appears out of the woods.
Yeah.
It's,
barefoot?
It's Plastic Man.
It's Plastic Man.
But
he's not plastic yet.
He's awfully strong, though, because he picks up this tree stump in one hand and twirls it around like a pizza.
Yeah.
Now, he explains that he's strong because his boss, Mr. Bogdanov, makes yogurt here, which we learn is fermented goat's milk.
Right. It gives the guy real power.
Yeah. Suddenly, a car comes screaming up and a weird-looking gunman jumps out. It's a gentleman dressed like a frog.
He's not a frog, right? He's just dressed like a frog?
No, he's just dressed like a frog because he does have human hands.
Okay.
Unless he's just very deformed and has a horrible, ugly face that's green. Maybe he's jaundiced.
Well, in fairness, we are reading a comic book, a character called Plastic Man. And his archenemy is a man who wears a colander on his head.
Yeah. He is on the lam from the law, and I guess he needs a new car because he's asking for help escaping.
Mm-hmm.
But this fellow that crept out of the woods kicks the gun out of his hand and then runs off into the woods with the frog in hot pursuit.
Right.
Leading the gunman away from the children. That's smart.
Right.
They get to the yogurt farm. And the frog makes, I got nervous here, the frog makes Plastic Man bend over at the waist.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen.
I don't have a very good idea of what you have in mind.
No, I certainly don't. At the same moment, inside the barn, a goat is very sick.
I love the goat's face.
Yes, he looks sick. The doke probably has diphtheria, which of course is going to... befoul the yogurt.
Make it diseased.
You wouldn't want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
The farmer takes a sample of the yogurt and then in a syringe and then tosses it out the window to make the doctor go get it. The syringe happens to land in Plastic Man's ass because he's bent over his waist.
And injects him right up his butthole.
Well, that's not exactly what's pictured, but that's the only way because it's not a needle syringe.
No, it's just a syringe. Let's just assume that it went through his overalls into his anus and injected him through his colon.
Okay. Luckily, that gives him stretchy powers right away, immediately. Yeah.
So that came from a diseased goat.
And also a costume.
Yes.
Because now he's in costume and he defeats the frog with the help of Plastic Goat.
Plastic Goat, yes.
No, it's actually Plastic Man disguised as a goat, because now we know he can disguise himself as animals and change color.
God, and this goes on. This chase scene goes on for a while, doesn't it?
I love it, though. Good look at this kooky car that Plastic Man
Yeah, it looks like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Speed Buggy or Wonder Bug. Anyway, he captures the frog. And Gordon tells the Playboy Bunny that Plastic Man later told him that he was there at this farm trailing the frog all the time. He came from a small town called Pellagra, Mississippi.
Pellagra, Mississippi.
Off Lynx goes back to her father. Only 6 minutes remain before Plastic Man destroys him, so he can't investigate all three rumored hometowns. But she reminds him of the triplicating machine, which goes haywire and makes multiples of him.
Right. Lots of hims.
By the time it gets straightened out, it's too late.
Yep.
All he could do is turn on his lexophone and watch whatever this is that's going to happen, that Plastic Man's somehow going to destroy him long distance from the annual luncheon of the Society of Law Enforcement Officers who are honoring Plastic Man. They are honored to have America's leading freelance crime fighter with them, Plastic Man, and now the annual election of public enemy number one. As usual, you have unanimously chosen Dr. Dome, but also traditionally, we now turn to the man who knows more about Dr. Dome than any other, Plastic Man. What do you say, sir? Is Dr. Dome America's number one crook?
Frankly, Police Officer Chief Irving, I wish I had another answer this year. I hate to keep depriving poor old Domey of the honor, but he's not only number one, he's actually flipped from 14th to 17th.
What does that mean? 14th to 17th.
He's not public enemy number one.
Oh.
He's slipped,
actually. Oh, okay.
You see, Dr. Dome is a...
Oh, he's not only not number one. Yeah. I'm sorry, I missed... Of course, I misread that.
We don't know anybody in modern politics like Dr. Dome. He sounds perfectly awful. Always wanted to be top number one
everywhere. No, not at all.
Every year, for 8 years now, Plastic Man has blackballed Dr. Dome. So he's not really destroyed. He's just had his ego bruised.
Yes, yes.
But one day, I'll have my revenge. One day I'll get my hands on him, and then I'll destroy that self-righteous fink like this. He smashes the Lex phone screen. And later, Gordon is questioning Plastic Man. What I don't understand, PM, is how come those girls got three different stories of your origin?
He goes, that's my little secret, Gordy. But Dr. Dome got three for the price of one. So you've got to admit it, I'm not.
Cheap. Because he's Plastic Man's feeding birds at the zoo auction.
Yeah. And that's the end.
That's the end. Thank the stars.
Yeah.
Rob?
Yeah?
What if I told you that one of these was actually Plastic Man's origin? Kind of.
I thought he was a criminal turned good.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's not completely accurate because he was not working undercover. He was actually criminal Eel O'Brien.
Okay.
And he was involved in a robbery that went awry.
Okay.
And he fell into a vat of chemicals and got all stretchy.
Okay.
He escaped to a monastery and was nursed back to health by the monks who convinced him to turn good and use his powers to fight crime.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a colleague of mine help solve a solution we were having in an academic unit the other day, and he transferred some money around that should have been into the account. And I replied back to him, thank you so much. You've used your powers for good.
Or, as my Aunt Juanita's friend Peachy Purnell would say, well, that's the answer to your solution. Do you have anything to add about Plastic Man? Any questions I can clear up for you?
How many more of these damn things we're going to have to read before we're done?
I think 3 or 4 more.
Oh my God, how many more years do we have left?
You've got an eternity with me, baby.
I'll never get tired of these.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, which is Nerd_Orchestra on Instagram. You can hear Dr. Husband in concert if you're in or around Helena, Montana on Halloween weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us, well, I can't say us because I don't know where you'll be. You'll find somebody right back here next week.
Yes.
With more comics fun.
Absolutely. See what I did?
It's too soon.
I'm sorry.
Bye!
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
In the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Hey, you on the ground.
You on the ground.
Take a look up and see what we
found.
Nothing to tie us. Bluebirds come up to guide us.
When you're beside me, we can fly.